And welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. And today I have my friend Angie Stockton.
Hi, Dan.
And we are talking about the differences between pre-qualifications and pre-approvals, why one will lead you down the road to a dead end or a brick wall, and the other one hopefully get you right into a house with as less of strain as you can possibly get. Mm-hmm. So, where did we leave off? We want to talk about, when we left off, we were talking about kind of loan killers.
Yep.
And
red
we went
flags.
Through a lot of scenarios like mm-hmm. that. And right now what we want to do is, what is a pre-approval, or what your lender should be doing or asking of you, what you need to know from your lender, and what puts together a good pre-approval process or letter. Last year, I don't know if you see a lot of this. Do you have with other lenders, and good or bad? Mm-hmm. Do you see fallout, or, and if so, what is usually the cause of the fallout from the pre-qualification?
Yeah, I don't see a lot of fallout. But what is typically the fallout is if something wasn't disclosed, which is kind of maybe. Everybody's got a little fault in that. The buyer has to disclose everything, like you were saying in the earlier segment. Mm-hmm. And then the lender, and honestly, this is one of the things I appreciate about you, is that you're very thorough. The lender needs to be thorough in making sure that information is accurate and letting them know what other information they need if there's not enough.
Okay.
And that's what the fallout I see is.
So what I try to do is, when somebody applies online, mm-hmm. which it's inevitable that's where it's going.
Right.
That's where the market's going.
Right.
Because... I mean, it's technology,
mm-hmm.
and it can expedite the system. Just because something's fast doesn't mean it's any good.
Right.
So if you have a pre-approval or I'm going to really call it by its name.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a pre-qualification in a minute or 30 seconds or 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a pre-approval.
Right.
It's basically, you know, your credit might have been pulled, but here's the things missing. Do you have child support?
Right.
What is your income? What is your real income?
Mm-hmm.
If you put in, again, like in your son,
mm-hmm.
if he put in what he actually makes
right.
versus what he's allowed to qualify with, it's probably half.
Right.
So those are things, again, you want to speak with somebody that they can go through all these questions with you. Are you paying child support? Are you receiving child support? Mm-hmm. How much money do you have in the bank?
Mm-hmm.
How long has it been in the bank?
Mm-hmm.
Other areas such as that. So when you apply online, you'll get a phone call, should get a phone call. You need to provide, and I'll go through that list again, 2 years federal tax returns, last two pay stubs, last two bank statements. Those should be analyzed. So what happens is, here's the process, and here's what everybody does or should do. You fill out an application. On your side of it, it's just, it goes out, somebody you're thinking looks at it, pulls your credit, looks everything, oh, everything's okay, you're good to go, boom, and writes you up a letter. It's not like that. Today's world, everything is automated,
mm-hmm.
meaning everything is technical. So we take that data and we upload it into one of two systems. There's Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Mm-hmm. They're two different entities out there, and they provide, I don't even know if you know, they probably do 95% mm-hmm. of the mortgages in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So when they get a bad rap saying, you know, they shouldn't exist, or if they didn't exist, there would be
yeah.
no mortgages.
Yep.
So everybody uses them. Mm-hmm. Me, Bank of America, Quicken, Wells Fargo, mm-hmm. Guaranteed Rate.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody uses that system. So you run that, your data through the system. But if your data's no good.
Right.
The
letter's no good.
Your answer's no
right.
good. Correct. So you need somebody that knows what they're doing to talk with you,
right.
analyze this information that you're sending in before they upload it into that system.
Right.
Now, that system will come back and say the loan is approved or not approved.
Mm-hmm.
Not a funny thing is, you mentioned earlier, my son makes, you know, last week, he worked 100 hours.
Yeah, 118. Give him credit
awesome.
For all he worked.
Yeah. And then Angie's question was, well, tell them kind of what you were asking, and you thought maybe some of it could be used, it could be looked at.
Oh, actually, I know that none of it is actually looked at and considered as part of his profile. But I still thought that an underwriter would be aware that this extra income was coming in. I did. I thought that something, okay, so look, we're not approving it based on this, but look, the guy's obviously a secure, you know, he's working all of these hours. He's got all of this overtime. That underwriter would be aware of that.
Right. No. Sorry. So here's what it is. I hate to say it. It is a square peg with a square hole.
And that's it. Yeah.
So that's it. In his case, he has not been on his job for 2 years.
Right.
They'll look at his base pay, period.
Mm-hmm.
Not a penny more can be added to it.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate because, but that's the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times people will think, you know, well, can't they ignore that? Or couldn't they, well, I made this, or I have 20,000 cash at home, sitting at home. They don't.
Yeah.
They just don't. It's a technical world. And the problem was too, a lot of it discrimination played a role.
Mm-hmm.
But not saying good or bad, I'm just saying a lot of it got, that's why really credit scores came into play. Because if you have X score, you qualify with a 620 credit score, everything else is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know where you live or aren't supposed to take into consideration where you live, what color you are, what race you are, what, you know, ethnicity you are, what anything.
Right.
So that's that part of it. So going again down the pre-approval route, we then send your data into that automated system. Mm-hmm. That automated system will then kick out to us and say it's approved. Then I always say it gives me a punch list. And it'll say I need, and again, the data that you put in is your income, your credit profile, your job, your how long you've been at your job or at home, how much money you have in the bank, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do I validate it?
Mm-hmm. You need their information in writing. You need to see their statements. You need to know what's going on.
Again, so I go back to it. We need their tax returns, W-2s. Why do we need their tax returns? They might be self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
They might have a side business. Here's what happens a lot, and this just popped in my head. I have, and you probably don't see it. You might, and just to be aware of it. You have right now people that are Uber drivers, people that sell Amazon products, you know, a bunch of side business jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You might even have, I even see it on our realtor side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a realtor will, you know, the wife is a realtor part-time and, you know, they're applying.
Right.
It's a Schedule C income.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a side business that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's times where the person will say, I sell Amazon products and I made about $8,000. I sold $8,000 worth of Amazon products last year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it was a realtor and you and your husband applied.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing that out there.
Right.
Your husband has a full-time job, this and that. And then you have the real estate business.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time when that person has their own business, let's say this Amazon person selling $8,000 worth of products, those products might have cost them $7,000.
Right.
So they had 8,000. They're telling me they made $8,000.
Right.
They had $7,000 in costs.
Right.
They had another $500 in cost to Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
They had $1,000 in marketing. Then they had a $500 tax service fee. And then they had, so they actually lost money.
Yep. Which would be reflected
on
the tax statement.
So if that person went online and you were going online and putting in your data, you would put, I work at Amazon and make
$8,000. Yep.
So that's $700 a month. Just throwing out there.
Right.
When it comes into me, you now made a negative $1,000 for the year. So you didn't make $700. You actually lost.
That's
you know
problem.
$50 bucks a month.
Yeah.
That's a $750 a month swing in income.
Right.
I mean, that's just a minute little scenario.
Right, yeah.
Now, you know, I've had realtors who come in and they honestly they've had their advertising between the MLSs and the realtor.coms and everything. They might have had a $10,000 or $15,000 loss.
Yeah.
Now you got $1,000 or $1,500 loss every month.
Right.
You're already $1,500 negative in the hole.
Yeah.
Now trying to qualify for a mortgage, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, if you were to do that application online,
you wouldn't know
or might not.
Yeah.
Right. Child support, alimony, you know, other things, you know, you probably wouldn't put in there. Do you see, again, I kind of asked you this question before, you know, God bless you, you haven't been down that road. Last year, I probably had two or three clients a month call me about 2 weeks prior to closing and say, Dan, I need help.
Yeah.
I have a contract I'm supposed to close on in 2 weeks, and I just got turned down. Why'd you get turned down? And mostly, it's kind of one of the same scenarios. Mm. And it was just like, really?
Mm.
What else? What other things have you seen that has hint? We were talking about pre-qualifications and pre-approvals. So we've discussed the differences there and what you should do, the questions you should ask your lender, the documentation you should provide your lender. What are some other areas? We talked about cash. Watch out for cash.
Mm-hmm.
Buying a car, buying furniture. Anything else you can think of? Just advice on people if they're looking to buy a house in the next 3-4 months, what to do and not to do?
I just honestly think don't stay where you're at. Don't pay off credit card. If they're going to pay off a credit card, they need to talk to you or whoever is going to be their lender, because sometimes closing that credit card account can actually hurt their credit.
Right.
So they need, before they make any sort of move financially, if they're looking at buying a house, they need to be in touch with a lender, and they need to actually ask them before they do anything of significance.
Gotcha. Awesome. So Angie, tell us quickly, how do they get a hold of you? Please, if you're looking to buy a house in the next 2-4 months, let me know. I'll get you a pre-approval, and we'll work with Angie.
That
Angie, give me your information.
My phone number is 630-800-7740. I can be texted at that number as well, or Angie@greatsuburban.com.
God bless, and come back tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense.